have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny and Sam. And quite a frustrating evening as the Fighting Illini drop a tough one to Rutgers by a final score of 70-59. Rutgers led wire to wire, just could never get off the ground at the rack, or I should say the Quiznos Party Arena, and just a really, really tough game. So we're just going to use these next 30 minutes or so to just kind of share our feelings here as what was just what was tough.
30 minutes sounds like a long time.
Yeah, the old, I mean, tough loss at the Subway Station.
But, the Subway Station. Yeah.
Quiznos, Potbelly's place.
16 signature sauces.
Yeah, but that was tough. I mean, it seems like the Northwestern game we won, but it was an inspiring performance. The second half against Purdue, like, just 4 out of 6 bad halves here. And right after, it seemed like we were kind of turning the corner with big wins against Wisconsin and Indiana. We kind of are looking at this team right now and saying, like, are we that good?
I want to be very careful. Yeah. I know college basketball is, I think, in my opinion, the most, like, what was the word you used, Sam? Just the most, like, you used a fun,
Fugazi?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but just, like, in terms of parity, it's like, you can lose to Lafayette, you can lose to Marquette, you can, well, who's a good team? You can lose to Cincinnati and then reel off top 25 wins. And so it's so hard. It is hard as fans to not overreact to any one singular game. And so I do want to throw caution to the wind there. The sky's not falling. But yeah, the expectation in February for a top 15 team like Illinois under Brad Underwood in year 5 with this level of experience is to not throw up a clunker like that from wire to wire. And so, yes, there is reason for concern. I think that's fair. But at the same time, I'm not going to let myself go Chicken Little and let the sky fall yet.
Yeah, I just felt like in other games you had excuses for losses or you played really good teams. Like, you just got beat wire to wire, and it was probably the worst performance in Cincinnati. Like, other games, okay, Purdue's really good, I guess, you didn't have Kofi, but this was just bad basketball. And, like, we were a team at the start of the year when we had our hot stretch of we can shoot threes and we can rebound against teams, and we got out-rebounded, 46-28? Like, that's just embarrassing. And fortunately, we had a little bit of a stretch at the end there where guys at least – they showed they gave a shit, like Coleman Hawkins and RJ cared and were pressing and made a few steals, but it was just kind of an unacceptable.
Yeah, I think some people on Twitter were saying in the second half, basically questioning if this team was engaged. And obviously with a huge matchup on Saturday against Michigan State, you have to be engaged. You cannot let yourself get out of the fight like they did in the first part of the second half before they went on what we haven't seen in a long time, a fake rally. We were talking about, we haven't seen one of those in a long time. A nice little, what was it, like a 17-4 run or something like that?
Yeah, I think 14-2 right to the under four. It's like that reminded us of when we weren't good and would just have the fake rally and make it seem like a close game. But I'm definitely glad to be out of that period of our life and onto a bigger chapter. But I mean,
Illinois football, we're still there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, some of those fake rallies against, you know, the Marylands of the world. There were some against Penn State. Those fake rallies were brutal. I think the Champagne Room did like an article on like the top 15 fake rallies, and you go through it and there's just some insane statistics. Oh, we went on a 19-3 run, still lost. Went on a 20-2 run, still lost. It's nice to move on from that period, but it was kind of an awful callback that we needed to rely on a fake rally to lose by only 11.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like we talked about with the lack of focus from this team. I mean, when you give up 14 offensive rebounds to Rutgers when you only had 20 defensive rebounds, like, that's just ridiculous. That's terrible. That, and combine that with just some bad 3-point shooting, you're just going to get destroyed. And I mean, I've been probably the biggest person on the Andre Curbelo bandwagon, and he was not good. He, like, 3 turnovers and went 1 for 6 from the field. Like, that's just unacceptable. I mean, he did have some nice assists, but it's just like, these guys got to be focused against MSU. You need to be locked in and engaged on Saturday.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, like, when you're down the stretch, like, you know, it's, you're just, like, helpless. Like, you kind of want to get to the end of the game. It's not that you're not trying. It's just, like, nothing's working. Like, you become more desperate. You jack up threes. And then at the end, you find yourself, like, with an outside shot. And you're like, shoot, I wish we were, like, focused and, like, just grinding it that whole time instead of jacking up threes.
So I had flashbacks, more flashbacks to the Loyola game, specifically in the first half there were, and even the second half. The score at halftime was very similar. It felt like we could never get in a rhythm. We could never really close the lead. You're the better team. You're objectively the better team. You're supposed to win, yet you're getting outplayed in every phase of the game, and phases of the game like rebounding and shooting that you're better than the other team typically at. It felt eerily similar to Loyola, where you're like, okay, you kind of know after 6-8 minutes how the game is going to go the whole time, and you just kind of have to sit there and slowly just take it with your eyes just peeled open and watching the game. But it I don't know if it reminded you guys of that, but it absolutely reminded me a little bit of that fateful afternoon in March.
Yeah, in both games you're playing for a ring or a banner, whatever you want to call it. This time the Big Ten title, last year the tournament title, so it does kind of suck, because it's like that should be your best shot, and like just so helpless.
Yeah, and I mean, as you're talking about, I think this, it was the same exact score at halftime, and the final score was 71-58 against Loyola, 70-59 tonight, and it was confusing too. We couldn't hit threes at the start of the game. Then right after halftime, Grandison hits that three to cut it to 6. And then we had some other opportunities, missed some free throws, where it's like you could have gotten yourself back into this game. And then you let Rutgers just take in. We couldn't close the gap the entire time until the last between 8 to 4 minutes. And the only guy who's really been consistent is Kofi. I mean, he had 20 and 10 tonight, and gotta give him credit for that, but make some more free throws, please. 4 for 8's not good enough. And
no, I mean,
us,
the whole team shot, yeah, free, yeah, was abysmal. Let's see, what are we looking at?
Nine for 16, and you missed
RJ probably made 5 of those.
Yeah,
right?
Should we do like the talk a little bit about the good here for
that,
a couple minutes?
That's
let's,
the
can
one
we talk
good,
about,
yeah,
RJ?
Yeah,
can we,
yeah,
talk about RJ?
Yeah.
Star J, I think I'm gonna start, yeah, calling him. I mean, who, someone again, I like to take takes from Twitter because it's where I get a lot of my thoughts from, and we can run with those. Someone said you got to start RJ. Like, I want to hear your guys' thoughts about that.
Start J?
Are we just going to use that with...
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, he would obviously be either replacing DeMonte or Grandison, and they both have their own value. But, I mean, it, in some ways, it's harder to argue against him because he's scoring the ball, he's playing decent defense, and he's giving you energy. I mean, like, DeMonte 0-for-3 just gave you nothing and wasn't confident. Like, there were a couple of times where both DeMonte and Grandison, like, you kind of have some openings and then they just kind of put up a pump fake, slow the offense down, and any like space that you had gained against Rutgers, they'd kind of recovered. So I don't know, I trust Brad to kind of like shuffle the pieces as he will, but it's a fair argument to be,
yeah,
made.
Yeah, I want to make this very clear. I love DeMonte. He's been here for 5 years. He's been incredible. He started more and played more games than anyone in Illinois history. He's kind of earned the respect, right? But mm-hmm. A tough last couple of games, specifically on the defensive, and he struggled today defensively. And again, he couldn't really find a shot from deep. And I'm not gonna go in on DeMonte, but like you said, Johnny, a tough game for him.
Yeah, tough game for him, tough game for Plummer, doesn't hit a 3, Grandison goes 1-for-4, like, the role players just didn't show up. Trent was inconsistent. I mean, there were times where he was really good, there were other times where he's turning the ball over, and just, like, we had too many bounce passes into Kofi when, yeah, you have small guys guarding him, just throw it up and let him dunk it. Like,
and I have an X's and O's question for you, Johnny, because I think, mm-hmm. I mean, you know X's and O's a lot better than I do. Did Rutgers defense do a really good job when Kofi was getting the ball or denying the entry to him in the post, or was it just sheer bad decision-making and not getting the ball into him frequently enough.
Combination of both. They did a good job sometimes, too, once he kind of put the ball down to try to double him. And Mulcahy did a pretty good job of, he would kind of sag off of Demonte, force a difficult entry, which is why Brad was trying to get us the ball into the corner so then you could make another entry pass with a better angle. But there are times where it's like you're going 3-4 times down the floor and Kofi's not touching the ball. That's just a problem.
Yeah,
that's
unacceptable.
That's just, you need to focus on what you're doing and pass the ball to him.
And didn't that happen in Loyola game?
Probably, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
legitimately getting like PTSD flashbacks, yeah, right now of that game.
And it's one thing if you're a hot shooting team, but you're literally missing every three that you took and not giving the ball to your best player. I think he had one shot attempt in the last 6 minutes of the first half. That's just
right.
Unacceptable. Right.
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough. Yeah. I mean, outside of RJ, I mean, I'm just trying to focus on the positive here for a moment. It's hard for me to think about what the positives were outside of RJ. I mean, you got out rebounded. You shot 6 for 23 from three. You shot 9 for 16 from the free throw line. You shot 38% from the field overall. You got covered wire to wire. It's and again, I'm not gonna play the sky's falling game, but it is hard to sort of pick out the positives from the last 40 minutes of basketball.
I guess the only positive I can think of, and this is kind of BS, is last year we had games like this, but the only difference was we had Io, like at Nebraska going to overtime, like just so many like layers and different things you had to do to get a win. Now you're just like kind of seeing what it looks like when you're struggling, and hopefully that gives you like some food for thought going into the tournament, gives guys like Plummer some food for thought on like what else he's gonna have to do if he's not baking threes, things like that.
You saw a couple nice layups in the lane, I'll give him that. But you're right, like where does the scoring come from when Kofi's not getting it done and he's not getting the ball and you don't have Io and you're not, the threes aren't falling? Like where does the scoring come from?
Yeah, I mean it's really tough. Like as amazing as Kofi is, he's just not a guard who can take the ball up at the top of the 3-point line and just drive, like, because he's a big man. Like you got to find a way to get it to him, versus Io could just sometimes impose as well. And this team is also just dying for some fast break points. We like consistently are at the lowest in the Big
right.
Ten, and Io could get you 6 of those a
right,
game
right.
to just make it easier.
Right.
And then the half court just flows better. And
yeah.
I mean, you see how good he is on defense in the NBA. Like everyone talked about how good of depth this team was going to have. Well, it's like when you take away its best player, like you're immediately replacing that with like the 5th best player taking those minutes, so there's
yeah.
going to be a drop off.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the thing you really want when Curbelo came back, and I know he's still mm-hmm. coming back, is those transition fast break buckets where you can get out in transition, he can make a player, he can make a pass. And another tough game for him. You know, he played 19 minutes, 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 0 for 1 from the free throw line, 2 points. You know, if he can't provide the scoring, you want him to sort of provide the passing, and he struggled with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, at least he did have 5 assists.
Yeah,
but
I'll give it your right. I will pull that take back.
But
a little bit.
I mean, like, I think everyone is in agreement. He's got a really high upside, but he's just not there yet. And he's obviously been set back with the concussions and with COVID and everything like that. But it's just disappointing that this team, I don't know, hasn't had someone who's able to kind of step up aside from Kofi.
Yeah, I will pull that take back a little bit. In terms of transition, fast break.
For sure. And earlier on this season, I mean, this might have been his best assist game. Like, he's a lot been more calling his own number than just passing the ball, partially as he tries to get into a rhythm. But you need more from him because we thought he was going to be an all Big Ten player, and you
sure.
need more from everyone.
I do wonder where he's at. Fitness-wise, injury-wise, like if he's at 100%, I mean, it takes a while to get yourself revved up to life in the Big Ten, and, you know, maybe he's not at 100%, but life in the Big Ten, man, it is tough.
He's got time. One thing that I did think was interesting was not only did we lose the rebound battle, but it felt like there really weren't any uncontested rebounds, so, like, you can't get a fast break off of that. I was going to make a really stupid joke during the game, like...
Okay, it's time.
7-second offense, like, it's taking us 7 seconds
to get
to
the cutters,
ball.
Get it to the cutters, yes. But, yeah, I mean, did it remind you of, like, an old Brad offense, or dare
I mean,
a John Gross offense in certain possessions?
You're, like, obviously you're playing to, like, Kofi's strength, so,
sure.
like, But no, I don't even think we generated anything close to a decent fast break opportunity the full game. Maybe one or two.
Yeah, that one Trent three, yeah. But that was pretty much it. Just a tough one. Yeah. And we've got MSU now. Like, that's a house of horrors. We've talked about East Lansing.
Oh my gosh. Let's name the top three house of horrors, at least since our time in college started, like for Illinois. I think MSU has to be on there.
Have we won there since 2014?
I think that
since we were freshmen,
maybe
is
the only time we've won there. Obviously, Io getting hurt a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Horror.
Terrible.
There have been some absolute blowouts there. I remember it was our sophomore year where Kendrick Nunn missed the game because of the birth of his child, and we got absolutely...
Who ended up not being his kid.
Right. Yeah. The whole thing there, the whole controversy there, sidebar, but we got absolutely dismantled there. That was a tough one. So MSU... I'm not willing. I don't know if the rack is one necessarily. I think, you know, recency bias.
Honestly, last year, we've lost our last junior year
where we would have made the tournament. You're right. Yeah. That is one.
We've lost our last three there. Yeah. Maybe even.
Yeah, maybe it is House of Horrors.
Last year was definitely like the most I've ever seen someone get under Georgie's skin was Paul Mulcahy at the rack.
Yeah.
And I guess.
We also lost the IO right after he got injured game. Did we play them on the road the year before that? Now, but yeah, we have not had a good record there.
Yes, yeah, so
I would say Mackey.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, they're whatever 97-11 last 108 games or something like that. At Maryland's not
seems
fun.
Like it's. I don't know. I don't actually have the stat. I just don't like playing Maryland.
At Maryland's not fun. I would say those three or four. Yeah, Maryland's been some tough ones.
And I mean, before IO, the Kohl Center just was terrible.
2019 was a revelation.
Yeah. It's funny that like. I mean, by no means we own Wisconsin.
That was like the end of the fake rally. That was like the start.
Yeah, we like
rally.
Thought it was a fake rally. Right. We were laughing.
We were rolling our eyes.
It's the fact that that doesn't even come to mind now, Wisconsin, after the last 12 or 13 games when we lost to them in a row, that we've actually beaten them in their building is kind of funny because, yes, that absolutely was a house of horrors. I guess when you were pretty bad for all four of our years of college, you could make the argument that arguably every away facility is somewhat of a house of horrors for the Fighting Illini.
Yeah.
Which is great because we're going to Michigan State on Saturday.
Yeah, like the only positives against Michigan State are one, they're tumbling, and also you beat them without Kofi, so you should feel decent about that matchup at least. Obviously, Izzo's going to have them ready to play after losing to Penn State. But
they're going to be revved up.
Tough to beat a well-coached team twice, even though we have Kofi.
I feel like... the Spartans after a loss like that are like Belichick's Patriots after a bye or something where they're just going to come out or after a loss where you just know that statistically they are going to be ready to go and it is going to be hard to beat them on their own turf there up in East Lansing.
And they're playing for almost as much as we are.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely they are. Whew. Do we feel a little bit better than we did 20 minutes ago?
Nice little therapy session. I mean, I feel like we're at the end of practice and coach is like, guys, get down on one knee, team on three, one, two, three. You know, it was a tough practice.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati. Yeah. Okay, anything else in terms of today or I guess if you're listening to this, or Saturday?
I don't know. I'm just curious. I feel like Brad will have something up his... Whether or not it works, like maybe a lineup. Like, he knows how to...
His sleeves. He was wearing short sleeves today. Did you?
Yeah. I guess, like, the last thing that we should talk about is just, like... Okay, so we're 11-4, five games left to determine the Big Ten. Like, you got to go 4-1, probably, if you want to ring, and that starts on Saturday. Like, you got to win on the road. And then, like, home game, Ohio State, just you got to win.
Purdue will have four games left, and they're beating Northwestern right now. So, yeah, you got to.
Yeah. The road is tough, but
that's why we haven't done it in a while.
You know what? I'm an Illinois fan until death do us part. I've always said that. When you sign up and you become a fan of these Fighting Illini, you're in it until the very end. And I vow to to never give up on this team.
And it kills you sometimes.
It certainly does elevate my blood pressure at times. All right, everyone. Definitely a bit of a heartbreaker, but we will remain positive and we will remain enthusiastic as ever. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.